Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, October 28th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have, Steve, Bob, Chris, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, sexy.
Hello.
Hey, knock it off. We're going to do an old-fashioned Mouse Chat podcast. We're going to start off with news, and then we're going to hit our main topic and finish the show with a couple of listener questions and comments. So let's start with some news. Chris, do you want to start us off? This is very, very interesting news.
Well, it's just a sad story that came out of the Magic Kingdom. Apparently, last night around 1 in the morning, a 56-year-old cast member was discovered. She had died in the cast member parking lot at the Magic Kingdom. They don't believe there's any foul play involved. She just, you know, died of natural causes. So they're just investigating it right now. It's very sad.
That is terrible. Gosh, that's it's pretty young.
That's young, and that's kind of weird to walk up upon.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I think a security guard found her. So,
too bad. Okay, well, now that we've got everyone depressed out there.
Yeah, that was a great story to start with.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay, let's see. Steve, do you want to take the next story, please?
So mine is a little more cheery. SeaWorld is going to make a big announcement on November 8th. And from talking to Bob, some of the rumors are that it might be something over at Discovery Cove, maybe an expansion, maybe a rainforest type area. I know that the, I guess, excursions over there have been real popular. So that would be nice. Another rumor is something with the penguin enclosure, because that's been there for a very long time. So maybe redoing that or moving the penguins or putting some type of attraction in there. Yeah, so Universal's doing a lot of updates, you know, with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and then Disney's got a lot of things coming online, and then Legoland just opened, so it's kind of time that SeaWorld put something else new out there.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of a good thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, one park doing something will encourage other parks to, you know, get on their game a little bit and be competitive. And I think you're right. I think it does have to do. They recognize, you know, Universal's making a lot of money and Disney's got stuff coming out, or, you know, had stuff earlier in the year, and Legoland. So, yeah, it's a good way to stay competitive. I agree.
Let's go to Lauren. What do you have, Lauren?
Disney World is going to be testing a parade fast pass system. Now through November 12th in the Magic Kingdom. And it's a new trial that's going to try to utilize FastPass for prime parade viewing spots. Instead of a FastPass machine, the cast members are actually going to be giving, I guess, sporadically FastPasses out to guests in the afternoon for the Celebrate a Dream Come True parade. They're experimenting with it, so not really sure how many they're giving out. The locations for viewing are going to vary. I believe they're supposed to be in or near the castle area. All it's going to do is basically guarantee a good spot to view the parade, I guess. But it is a testing phase, so that's all there is with it at this point. But I don't really think that's going to work, personally.
I think it could. I think it could, because they do something similar out in California with the World of Color. You can get a fast pass for that, and then you have a section that you're allowed. It's almost like the Fantasmic preferred seating. You have a section that's roped off, and that's where you go.
Yeah, so they give you like yellow or red, and depending on what time you get to the fast pass machine, is what section you get, and then depending on what time you get there, you show up. You know, so you're either walk to the front of the section or middle or back, depending on when you get there. And it's, you know, standing room only. So it's going to be similar to the parade.
I guess if it proves, you know, effective, they'll continue it past November 12th, or maybe introduce that for the evening parade, because that's where I think you'd get more use out of it. For the nighttime parade, I would think.
Yeah, I think it would be more popular for the nighttime parade.
I was picturing it.
Yeah, I would think so too. Yeah, not the afternoon.
Yeah, but right now they're running it in the afternoon.
I guess they're testing it.
Yeah, maybe just because it's easier to test.
And it's not as crowded. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, while we're talking about parades, I would love to see Main Street Electrical Parade go away. I mean,
oh,
it's been there.
Stop.
It's been there. No,
stop.
it's been there for a couple of years now.
No.
So do you want a new parade or do you want
Spectrum
Magic to come
back?
Yeah,
no, I want Spectrum Magic to come back.
No. Electric Light Parade needs to stay.
You know, it's been back, and we've been there two, three, four times, and we still haven't seen it since it's been back.
I love it. I've seen it every time I've gone now.
Yeah, the parade is really nice. I can't complain about the parade.
I love the music.
See, the music to me is not.
Oh, it's so
70s. What I don't like.
I love it.
No, it's just the music to me is just very, very repetitive.
It is. It's horrible.
Have you heard Spectro's soundtrack?
Oh, I love Spectro. I go around singing it all the time.
I love it, but it's just as repetitive.
Da 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 da.
Well, the difference is that Spectro Magic.
It's my ringtone.
Is it really?
It is.
Poor Bob.
No, I'm trying not to talk over people because I know I do that. No, I think
you?
The difference is Spectro Magic's music is longer, so it's not as repetitive.
Yeah,
where you have like one verse with, mm-hmm. you know, Main Street Electrical Parade.
In the Main Street Electrical Parade, the music sounds kind of manic, you know, whereas Spectro sounds sort of, I don't know, it doesn't sound manic, you know.
It's just to the point now that the music is so.
Okay, thanks. It's in my head now.
Annoying to me that I don't want to I don't want to sit there and watch the parade, but I realize that parades come and go, so
I love that parade.
Well, yeah, I mean, the floats. I don't really like the music, and now I've got it in my head. I'm gonna have it in my head all night.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, nothing happened this week.
Okay.
Oh, here's something interesting I would like to ask you.
Sure.
So, if free dining is ending on the 29th, what do you think is coming next, and when do you think it's coming?
Extended free dining through September.
Yeah, they're going to follow. Yeah, I think.
But do you think there will be anything for, obviously nothing for April. Do you think there will be anything for May?
With extra blackout dates.
I wish they wouldn't make it so difficult with these blackout dates.
I know.
The blackout dates don't bother me.
Oh, no, they bother me.
They bother me.
I'm just sort of, I'm kind of grateful for
either give it or don't.
Yeah, I'm just kind of grateful for anything because I noticed that they were offering it to Canada and Latin America from like the 17th of August through September, but that was the only thing they added for them. So I'm just wondering what everyone else thinks. Do you think we'll see it next week?
I think it'll be in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know how I love this game.
I would like to see another gift card offer.
Oh, that would be nice too. Or if even a kids free.
I like when they mix it up.
Yeah, this is the time of year they usually do kids free too. Actually, kids free usually comes out after. It usually goes, like last year they did free dining first and then they did kids free.
They did free dining for 2012 and then a kids-free announcement?
Yep, the kids-free came out after.
Well, you know, the kids-free, I guess it's a good deal, but
well,
it's
you
so
know,
misleading.
It saves $200.
Yeah,
$200 a kid.
Yeah.
Well, kids-free is great if you have three children in that category, which I do, so that's a great savings for us, you know.
Right. But the whole, kids stay free, well... You know, technically they're always staying free.
Yeah.
So that's not really savings. What about the 4-3 deal? That was really popular.
That was good. And didn't they have a kids free eat and play? So they got everything free?
Kids stay, play, and eat for free.
Haven't done that one in a long time. They've been doing the stay, play, free.
Yeah.
They haven't been doing the dine. But it would be smart for them to do the dine as well because everyone in the room has to be on the same package. And they're going to get the adults at full price. It just makes sense to me because they charge so little for the kids anyway. It's like $12 a kid.
Well, and it's not like that many people have children in that age category. You know, like I said, we're unusual in that right now we have three kids who would fit into that. But most people, you know, they maybe have two kids and that's not, that big of a deal. Two kids free, you're talking maybe, $550 for a week?
Yeah, maybe less even.
Well, the other thing is that the dining to do advanced dining reservations, they're going to now require a credit card.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, for some of the or the majority of your signature restaurants.
Pretty well, and all the character meals too, like 1900 Park Fair and things like that. Pretty much everything that you know. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and the way this is going to work, just so people aren't confused, this is not, you know, you're not paying for the meal in full. They're just, you're basically holding your spot. And if you don't cancel within 24 hours, if you decide not to take the reservation, they'll charge you $10 as a penalty.
No, they charge you $10 per person.
Oh, per person. Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. It's still a good, it's a good way to do it. You know,
no, I think it is because I think it'll make it easier for people to get some of the tougher or hard to get reservations.
Well, I saw someone comment on one of the pages I was reading on Facebook said, "Oh, well, I always make 4 or 5 reservations because I never know what park I'm going to be in." And I'm like, "Well, first of all, that's just terrible, and I can't believe you." You know, told people that, but I had no idea people did that. That's crazy.
Well, that's exactly it. I think a lot of people do that, which is why Disney is now putting in this policy. So if it makes it easier for people to get places like Chef Mickey's and 1900 Park Fair and you know, some of these other places, I'm all for that because, you know, it's difficult too. I mean, you shouldn't have to make all of your reservations 6 months out, you know, but there are some that, you know, if you, you know, at 120 days out, if you haven't gotten that table, you know, you may not get it, you know, and that's just,
true.
Yeah. You know, so maybe this will make it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll certainly make it easier for the people who work at the restaurants. So I don't have an objection to that either. I mean, I think, you know, overall, it's just a good idea.
Okay, now it's time for the main topic. It sounds odd, but we're going to be talking about strollers. Strollers and a little bit about wheelchairs. And we actually have quite a few things to discuss about this. So here we go. First off, should people bring their own stroller or should they rent? And from whom?
So I have a few thoughts on that. I actually think that you should probably bring your own, especially if you're coming through an airport. It's a pretty long walk from the terminals down to Terminal B where you catch the Magical Express. So it kind of makes sense to go ahead and have your own so you can put your kid in the stroller and save their feet. But if you don't, I think it's better to rent a stroller from an off-property company so that they'll take the stroller and they'll drop it off at the resort that you're staying at. You'll pick it up and then you can use a stroller when you go back and forth in the parks as opposed to using the ones in the park that you can only use in the park, which seems kind of like a waste of money. It's also very expensive.
Yes, you'll definitely save money renting from an off-site company than you would renting from Disney, buying them, you know, renting them in the park.
Yeah.
Even if you rent for Disney for, you know, several days or a week and they cut you a little discount, it's still cheaper to rent off-site, definitely.
Well, and the fact that you have to turn the stroller in before you leave and then depending on the park you're in, you know, that's a huge hassle to get your kid from the park to the parking lot in the car. So if you have your own, at least you can, you know, you can use it to get back and forth. Now, personally, I think it's a huge pain to also deal with the trams, so I never take the trams when I have a stroller. But that's a small trade-off, I think.
Yeah, we bring our own stroller because we usually drive, but we also bring it when we fly. The only thing I hate about when we bring it when we fly, and Lisa usually deals with it more than I do, is it's just like you've got all the luggage and the kids, and then you got to go through airport security. And then you get this huge stroller and it's just in a car seat and you just got, it's just so much stuff that you're lugging out of the car into a shuttle van, out of the shuttle van to the gate. And then you got to get it on the Magical Express. And it's just, it's a lot of stuff to carry around.
Since you've done both, do you think it was easier to rent and pick up at the resort or do you think it was easier to take your own stroller with you?
Well, we usually, and then when we drive, it's really nice when we drive because it's super convenient. I don't know. I mean, and we've never actually rented them. We rent them through, you know, the agency, through Pixie Vacations. We rent magical strollers, and they drop them off right at the bell stand. So if you are flying and don't want to deal with, you know, carrying it with you and checking it at the gate and all that kind of stuff, you can rent one that drop it right off at the bell stand. You have it every day, and then when you're done, you just leave it at the bell stand. So like Bob was saying, you don't have to go to the park in every park and wait in line to check it out and then wait in line to turn it back in and then carry your kid from the stroller rental back to the hotel. You just keep it for the whole week or however long you're there.
Right, and they all fold up. They all go onto the monorails and the buses. There are two companies that we've found to be pretty reliable. And like Steve said, Magic Strollers and Walker Mobility. Those are two good companies, and they make it so easy and convenient. And they're a lot cheaper. Sorry, Disney.
Yeah.
But these outside companies, they're priced better.
And I think you get a more comfortable stroller. You know,
they look bigger, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the plastic ones at Disney, they're just kind of, you know, I can't even imagine putting a small child in there. They'd be rolling around.
And I think, wouldn't you think with the Orlando heat that plastic would get really hot?
Yeah.
I can't say that I've sat in one, but I would imagine.
That's a mission now. We need to see if they're
comfortable. We'll have to send Natalie.
Chris, that'll be you. Well, you can. I'll push you around the park in a plastic stroller.
You know, don't tempt me.
But they also offer a couple of varieties. I know over at Walker Mobility, they have the single jogger. They have a double. They have a double front and back, and a double side by side. So you kind of get your preference. You know, whatever you're used to,
And that's nice too, because I think some people probably aren't going to use the stroller in the airport or, you know, with their child.
Yeah.
And
it depends on the child's age.
Right. And so they're just going to use it in the parks. And so, yeah, I don't want to lug this thing from home, or gosh, my child's older and I can't even remember where I put the stroller.
Yeah. That's our situation actually when we go in December, because the twins are 4 and my first thought was, there's no way that I'm pushing a stroller around the parks. But then people were like, you know, they're going to get really tired. They're going to get cross. You might want to corral them, you know, if Kevin's not there, to kind of help out a little bit. So I think I'm going to rent one. I just don't know how they're going to react, because they haven't been in one since they were like 2.5.
I used strollers for my kids until they were 5.
Really?
I did.
I'm definitely going to do it. I feel a little sheepish about it, but I'm going to.
I know this was, you kind of segued into it, but so, you know, do you think there's an age where you stop needing a stroller? I mean, because I think it really depends on the child child's needs.
I actually wanted to rent one for myself. My husband wouldn't push me in it, though.
I think it depends on the kid. If your kid has any kind of, you know, and you can't tell from looking if a child has a medical, some sort of disability or whatever. And, you know, a lot of children, like, you know, kids on the spectrum who look totally normal might need to be kind of in a stroller because they feel safe or something. Maybe they have a medical problem. It's up to the family. For me personally, there's no way that I would put 5-year-olds in a stroller. They need to deal with it and walk. But we don't go, you know, commando in the park, so it's really a non-issue for
us
anyway.
To know.
Yeah. But the four-year-olds, I'm going to do it just for the heck of it. So.
Well, it might be easier. I mean, especially, and you have to look at too, I think, what time of year are you going? I mean, if you're going, you know, Christmas time and there's a lot of crowds, you know, you might feel more comfortable having, you know, your child or children in a stroller where you can kind of, you know, keep an eye on them versus, you know, losing them. I'm thinking of, you know, those sidewalks in Epcot, and I know how crowded they get. You know, and these parks are big too. I mean, you know, I get tired walking around World Showcase, and I have long legs. So if I had short, you know, legs like a child, I would imagine it would be quite the effort to kind of walk all of that.
Yeah. And I think the adults even try to rush through, and so those little kid legs are going even faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that's also nice that's going to be hard when we finally do get rid of the stroller is we bring snacks and we bring sweaters, jackets, bottled water,
it's
camera
like a big
stuff.
Purse.
Yeah, and you can throw all that stuff underneath. And then, you know, if you're not worried about it, you can just leave it in there and take a backpack with you with your valuables in it. So it's nice to have all your stuff with you.
That's one thing I'm going to miss. And I have to say that is kind of something that sort of pushed me over the edge to renting a stroller in December, because I thought, you know, I can put all their snacks in there. And then the next year we go and they're five, then they can have little backpacks and carry their own stuff, right?
Well,
that's my plan.
Well, as long,
sure.
as long as you're not
they're going to be little Sherpas.
Down. Yeah, you know, you can take them on Expedition Everest. They'll fit right in. Yeah. Well,
I just, you know, when we brought Eric, when Eric was five, when the first time he was able to go, and he I didn't even consider a stroller for him. And he did great. You know, he was going like 12, 14 hours a day.
And it really depends, I think, on a lot of factors. What time of year are you going? What is your touring style? You know, if you're going in July and you tour from open to close, you know, do yourselves a favor, do your child a favor, and get a stroller, because I think you'll both be happy at the end of the day.
Except they'll be sitting in that sweaty stroller, you know, because there's nothing sadder than looking at like a baby all hot and sweaty in the stroller.
Well, yeah. I mean, and obviously if you're going in hot weather, you know, make sure to hydrate and, you know, properly shade the child and you know, just, you know, don't leave them in there and presume they're going to be okay. You know, we're talking about strollers then and, you know, bringing them in the parks and things. Don't you think, I mean, one of the biggest issues is dealing with Disney transportation, you know, the monorail, the buses,
huge,
the trams. So,
huge.
So, I mean, what is the I don't know if what are the rules or the rules of the road or what is, you know, how do you, you know, when do you remove them? When can they stay on? What's, you know, what's the deal?
I can chime in on this.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to jump in because we usually take a bus because we're not on at a monorail resort most of the time. So when you are on a bus, at no time can the stroller be opened up on the bus. And the one time I swear the guy was going to pull over and like kick me out or something. We were just going to the resorts and dropping people off. It was late and Brooke was asleep on Steve. And I thought it would be helpful to open up the stroller so he could put her in. I could take her out. And he, no, you can't open that on here. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And then other times, it'd be just so convenient. I mean, no one else is on the bus, and we've got all this stuff on the bottom, all of our coats and bags and things, and they'll make you take everything out, fold it up, and hold on to it, which, you know, rules are rules, but yeah, just keep that in mind. If you're going to have a stroller, you're going to have to fold it up before you get onto the buses. The monorails are a different story. Those you can go straight on.
That was the thing that kept us off the buses, because I was just, it was such a pain to have to do that. I think one trip, we were there a whole week and we maybe rode the bus twice. Otherwise, we took our own car to the parks. We didn't use the trams because you have to do the same thing on the trams. And, you know, if we went to the Magic Kingdom, we would just take the monorail or the ferry, which, you know, you don't have to take them out, because it was, you know, especially with two in the stroller, it was really hard. So
then just be prepared. If you're getting on one of the trams from the parking lot or a bus, the child's going to have to come out and the stroller will have to be folded up.
Well, and the trams too are really difficult from the standpoint of, if you have a very large stroller, it's almost impossible to get in that small space.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Did that almost kill you?
Wow.
No, because we have like, you know, a double stroller, and we used to have a McLaren, and it was really hard to fold that thing up and get it on the tram and have people staring at you while you're emptying out the pot, you know, the bottom part. So, and the kids run off while you're doing it. Right. Yeah. What do you do with the kids? Because, you know, in our case, you have like two 2-year-olds, and one of them is sneaking off and the other might be standing there obediently. And, you know, it was very hard. So we found out really quickly we didn't want to have to take them out of the stroller during that part of our transit. We walked a lot that trip.
But so just good to be prepared then. I mean, it sounds dealing with all that.
You can keep them on in like the boat that goes between Hollywood Studios and Epcot. You can keep them in the stroller on that boat, which is great.
Most of the ferries and the boats you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice on the boats. Now, who wrote this next question? Alternative to strollers, slings, backpacks, leashes, and NyQuil.
You know, that was me because I'm such a granola person that I had the slings there. And I actually did, when the twins were 10 months old, I actually had them in a sling for like a whole day. I would have like one twin or the other in a sling, and that worked out really well.
Oh, that's the little snuggly thing that where they go.
A sling or a baby Bjorn. The Bjorns are fantastic.
We had one.
And of course, the leashes are great, and the NyQuil, well, you can't beat that. I'm kidding.
So the whole baby Bjorn thing, so you're like Luke Skywalker and you've got like, you know, you have it on your back. You know?
No, I just had one baby, but, you know, it was great.
I don't know if I mentioned this on our Disneyland show, but I did notice there were a lot of older kids in slings, you know, like 6 and 7 year olds strapped to their parents' backs.
Yeah. No. You know what? You know what? I believe that because I know a lot of hippies, and a lot of hippies practice attachment parenting. And, you know, if their kid is 4 or 5 and wants to still be in a sling, they sling them. I personally wouldn't,
they just look so uncomfortable.
There is no way I could even lift my kid at 6 to put her on my back.
I don't think I could put the 4-year-olds in a sling. I'm sure that my daughter would ride in one just because she's such a big princess. She'd like being up high and everything, but there's no way I could.
Yeah.
I can see a backpack maybe.
It was a backpack.
Oh, okay.
But it was baby Bjornish. It wasn't like one of those hiking backpacks.
Oh, those Ergo backpacks. Yeah, those Ergo carriers.
I don't know.
It was what it was. You could probably put a 5-year-old in one of those if you were motivated and crazy.
The kid just looked splattered across the back, all tight and uncomfortable, and legs sprawled, and it didn't look comfortable for either of them. So,
no offense to the attachment parenting parents out there. I didn't mean to call you a hippie. Even if you are, you darn hippie.
Now, what about, you know, this is one thing I guess to remember. When you bring your stroller and you're at the park and you put it by one of the attractions, when you come out of the attraction, most of the time it's probably been moved. If there's a large crowd or if you've put it in the wrong location.
And it could be far.
Yeah, so you have to kind of be on the lookout. And they all look the same. So one thing maybe to do at night is, well, we get those little like dollar store glow bracelets and we put them all over the kids, but it's also maybe a good idea at least at night to put a glow bracelet or something around it so you can find it, since they all kind of look the same, or do something distinctive for the day.
A balloon or something.
A balloon is a good thing.
You know.
Even if you put some streamer type ribbon around the handle, it'll stand out. You know, it'll be, you know, get some metallic.
Yeah, they all look so much alike.
Yeah, get some metallic string or something, ribbon, and that'll catch the sunlight, it'll blow in the wind, you'll see your stroller pretty quickly.
Well, I mean,
or get a Brazilian flag, there you go.
Right, that's a great idea.
There you go, just take one from one of the tour groups and just stick it in your stroller.
You know, you could also strap a Duffy Bear on the back of it.
Yeah, nobody wants to get near those.
Yeah, no fear of theft there.
What is it that they tell you from tour unofficial guide? They tell you to put a diaper in a bag and make it look like it's a dirty diaper. Okay, that's so no one will steal your stroller. Never mind. That's disgusting. I'm sorry I went there.
Well, I mean, along those lines.
See me touching that stroller.
Why not just go for the real thing? I mean, you know, I just, you know.
Yeah, it's not like you probably won't have one sooner or later.
You know, but along those lines, I mean, you do raise an interesting question. I mean, some of these strollers cost more than my first car did.
Yeah, so some are really expensive.
I mean, so if you are bringing your you know, $300, $500, $1,000 stroller to the parks.
If you're bringing a $1,000 stroller to the parks, you should have it stolen.
It's,
well,
it's
I mean,
a life lesson.
You know what? If it's,
I mean,
if it's a $1,000 stroller, it's got like anti-theft alarm.
Well, like
and you can afford another one then too.
It's got a low jack on
it. It's got GPS yeah. tracking. But no, I mean.
There won't be a problem.
But in all seriousness, I mean, can you, because I was always told that you can't like remove a wheel or put a lock on it because
you
of a
You can't, but you can put a lock on it. You can. There are stroller locks and people use them all the time. They're about $15 from Babies R Us. And actually one of the Google searches I get all the time on my blog is about stroller theft. And it's funny because the comments I've gotten are, you know, people really are worried about it, but I don't think it happens that often. There's apparently always these rumors that there are roving bands of stroller thieves running through the Magic Kingdom trying to take your $600, you know, Bob stroller. But and that's the name of a stroller, Bob. I'm sorry. I'll send you a link. It's not named after you.
I'm not sure. Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah. No, they sell them at REI. They're really nice strollers. Anyway, there are these rumors that there are these roving bands of thieves, but you know, I don't think it happens that often.
No,
but
in any event,
you can put a lock on it.
What do you do? Like put a boot on the wheel?
It's kind of like that. It looks like a little bear's face, the one they sell at Babies R Us.
Those.
It's
yeah.
Duffy. It's the mark
it does
of
look like Duffy the bear.
You put the mark of Duffy on your stroller. And
yeah,
no,
nobody will come near it then.
Well, I mean, so it doesn't keep a cast member, though, from moving the stroller.
They can lift it up, but they can't push it. So, I mean, your stroller probably weighs tops 15 pounds, right? Unless it's a huge Bob stroller. But I keep using that word. I don't know why. But anyway, yeah, so they can pick it up.
All right. Well, I would agree with you, Chris, that I don't think strollers are stolen nearly as often as people hear. Not that it couldn't happen or doesn't happen, but I think a lot of times they're either, you know, moved by a cast member, you know, to a different location, or another guest has mistakenly, you know, taken your stroller.
Or you just forgot where you put it.
Yeah.
Which
too much NyQuil.
To me a lot.
Yeah. In your case, not too much NyQuil, though.
Back in the days when I was working there, I was in Tinkerbell's Treasures, and that was a stroller replacement location, or you could rent a new one. But if someone came and reported that their stroller was stolen, you know, that you just show them your receipt. If you rented it from Disney, you show the cast member your receipt, and they'll give you a replacement stroller. And we didn't have that many replacements that we had to do. Sometimes people would purposely, like if they took the train and they didn't take their stroller, they would want a replacement, and they would just ditch their old one. Not that I'm encouraging that, but they would do that. Or they'd forget where it was. Just they knew the system worked, and so they would work the system.
Can I ask a question going back to alternatives to a stroller? What do y'all think about the leashes? Because I have admitted that I tried to use the leashes with my twins when they were like 20 months old, and they kept getting tangled and laying down on the, you know, on the sidewalk and whatnot. So that didn't really work. But
I have a thought on that. I actually used to make fun of people that use the leashes before I had twins. And after I had twins and they started walking, and I was in places like Disney and amusement parks or anything like that, I started to use them in those places because they so easily wander and would follow somebody else with a green shirt, you know?
Yeah.
So I was not a fan of them until I had little kids. But I did used to make fun of people that used them before that.
Me too. I used to make fun of them too.
I used to too. And again, going back to my Tinkerbell days, you'd see parents come in, and when I first saw the leashes, I thought, how degrading, how awful, how could you?
How safe.
And then it became, how smart of you. Right. And, you know, if you make it a game, or, you know, they have the little leashes that have stuffed animals that hug you, like backpacks. Mm-hmm. I think that's fun for the kids, especially if, you know, they could put a little something in the backpack, and then they have a leash, which could be a tail, it could be something, and then you're just playing with them. So don't make it a, you know, a
negative,
restrictive thing. Yeah, don't make it something where it's, you've got to be restrained to me. Turn it into something fun.
I think we've covered a lot of the stuff, you know, where you can't take it, where, you know, stroller rules as far as transportation.
Ooh, stroller courtesy, Bob.
Stroller courtesy, yeah, I think is. And wheelchair and scooter courtesy as well, too.
I don't get hit that often by strollers, but I see people in some of those ECVs that are just like goofing off and running around, and
those ECVs are
dangerous. Never seen that. I have never seen an old person like.
I've seen like younger people, or just like the whole family just decided to rent a herd of them, and they're just racing them around.
Did you really see that? I don't
yes.
believe that.
They got like a cigarette in one hand, and they're
and a martini in the other,
and they're just going.
And grandma's sitting on grandpa's lap.
And they got the horn going, and they're just flying around, and you're just going, oh, you're just waiting for them to run into somebody.
Wow.
You know what? I actually figured something out, Steve. I figured out why you wore that bright green shirt. It's because you didn't want to get hit by someone in an ECV. It's not because you had bad taste. It's because you wanted to stand out.
I wanted Lauren's kid to follow me.
Exactly.
Well, without the leash, she would.
the ECVs, the electric scooters, you know, I think for a lot of people, I mean, if you're not used to using one, or even if you are using, if you're used to using one, but you don't have yours with you and you're renting one, you don't know how they're going to handle. And I've heard from a lot of people that they're very hard to navigate, and they don't exactly stop on a dime. So, mm-hmm. you know, for
well, they do
for,
if you hit something.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, so if you're let this be. You know, take note. I mean, if you're walking, you know, pay attention to those people with the ECVs, and don't cut directly in front of them, because if they're moving and you stop right in front of them, or you cut right in front of them, they may not be able to stop. Yeah. And yeah, you're going to get hit, and it's not.
Treat them as the semi-trucks of Disney World.
Right, right.
Exactly.
I'm going to admit something here. The only time I've ever had a run-in with an ECV is when I stupidly walked in front of one. I didn't realize how fast it was going. And, you know, I was looking up in the air because I was excited because I was in the Magic Kingdom. And, yeah, so.
You know what, though? You never met my father. My father was in an ECV, and he used to take tables out. He was a horrible driver. He used to run people over.
Bless his heart.
He was a menace.
Yeah.
Well.
So many people are using them that don't necessarily need to use them.
Well, again, you can't.
You have
you can't
a lot
tell.
More people using.
You can't tell. Yeah,
well, you can't tell what somebody's.
But I know some people that do it, and they just rent it just because they don't feel like walking.
I can't imagine it'd be that much more convenient.
Yeah,
I can't either.
Well, I mean, there was like teenagers that there was like two or three teenagers when we were in one of the parks that were just racing around in them.
All right.
Yeah, they don't even go that fast, Steve.
Steve, I'm usually with you, and I don't remember this at all.
Maybe that was some dream I had. My ECV dream.
you have interesting dreams.
Ow.
But it is true. Like I think Chris or Lauren was saying, a lot of people, you know, everyone's taking pictures and they're not paying attention and they're wandering around, and it's easy just to run into somebody else. You know, there's like people walking behind you most of the time going down Main Street, and then almost always someone just stops, and then everybody just piles up, or there's this little narrow area and someone stops. So you have to kind of watch for the electric vehicles and the wheelchairs and the strollers, because it makes it really hard, especially when people in front of you aren't paying attention and they're just
stroller and ECV crossing.
They should, they have their own lane.
Their own lane.
Or just, you know, stay to the right, like for driving, you know, maybe. But I mean, same thing with strollers. I mean, stroller courtesy does go a long way. I mean, you know, don't, and I've said it before, please don't use it as a battering ram or as a way to plow through crowds on the way to the exit.
I don't know who you're walking in front of, but I've never seen them being.
My shins. I
like a little snowplow.
I'm going to have to
follow me. I'm
going to
clear
Bob.
A path.
I'm going to have to back up Bob on this one, because that night that we were in the Magic Kingdom a few weeks ago, we were leaving on the night of the 40th. Well, we were actually not leaving. We're just trying to get around. There were people leaving, and there definitely was a guy who was using his stroller. He had one of the Magic Kingdom, you know, the Disney ones, as a battering ram. You know, I mean, just kind of push, push, push. It's like, really? You know, I mean, but that's unusual, I think. I haven't had anyone, you know, deliberately use their stroller in that manner.
Oh,
I've encountered worse at the mall. I've seen worse behavior at the mall, you know, than at Disney World.
So, I mean, it is hard to navigate, especially if you've got a double stroller. I can understand that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've had people run into me where I will turn around and say, ow. You know, and they will see me, look at me, realize what they did, and then continue to do it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, that's because you're
because I'm me, and yeah, I probably deserve it.
They're like, oh, it's that guy. Yeah.
That guy's got a file so long on him.
Disney doesn't care what we do to him.
Right, exactly. So
Disney's
so
probably paying that guest.
Exactly.
The other thing with stroller courtesy is that I see a lot of people do is when you're getting off of a tram, you know, the cast members will tell you, you know, go past the yellow line when you get off before you open up your stroller. So please do that. Don't, you know, step off the tram and immediately try to unfold your, you know, stroller, because there are people, you know, trying to get off, you know, the tram car behind you. And, you know, it you know, somebody could trip, somebody else could fall, you'll block somebody. So it's for your safety. It's for the safety of other guests. You know, just keep that in mind. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to have sympathy for parents with small children, especially small mobile children who are, you know, you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to unfold the stroller before the kid takes off. I mean, my kids are the kind of kids, if you didn't put them in the stroller, they're just going to be wandering off. So, I mean, it was never like, I don't know, you know, it's not easy, and you try to have sympathy for people.
No, I agree that I mean, it's got to be hard for people with small children and dealing with, you know, you've got your bags and, you know, the coats and the snacks and the, you know, this giant stroller and, you know, you're trying to do all that and keep an eye on
your
the
Duffy
kids.
Bear.
Yeah. And your Duffy bear and heaven forbid you lose that, you know, so that is a lot, but yeah, I mean, the rules are there for you and they're there for all the other guests. And I mean, just respect, you know, your fellow guests and respect what the cast members are telling you, because they're doing so for a reason.
Okay, closing up the main topic, we're going to move over to our listener questions and comments. We have, this is from George. George writes, and he writes specifically, "Dear Bob and the other mouse chatters." I'm not sure how to take that, but...
Woo, I rule.
Yeah, don't let it get to your head.
Too late.
No kidding. I had a question about the best time to take a cruise when you have kids that cannot be taken out of school. Should we book for spring break, or would any time during the summer be all right? I assume that a cruise is always the same crowd level since they can only book so many rooms. Therefore, it would never be like the difference between January and July at Walt Disney World, right? I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this issue. Thanks, George. All right, George. Since Bob is specifically addressed on this, I'll let Bob go ahead and answer it.
Thanks.
Bob, take it away.
George, you are correct that the crowd level, you know, is always going to be the same number of rooms. Chances are, you know, during peak times like spring break or summer, the crowd levels, you know, more rooms will be sold versus other times of year. So even though you won't exceed that maximum number of rooms, you probably will have a more crowded ship during those times. That said, the only other downside that I foresee to, you know, going during, let's say, the busy summer season or spring break or, you know, one of those types of year when kids are out of school is that, well, Disney obviously knows that this is a time when kids are out of school and people vacation. And so the prices that you're going to pay for a cruise or any vacation really at that time are obviously going to be higher.
We have another question from a listener. This is from Matt. I think I'm getting harder to hear and understand. So, Lauren, do you think you could read this one for me, please?
Sure. Did you send it?
I can.
Which one is it?
It's the one from today that Steve sent.
Yes.
Deluxe Resorts.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, let me throw you in there again. Lauren, can you go ahead and take this one, please?
Sure. It says, Dear MouseChat.net, I am not only a Disney fan, but I am also a shareholder since 2001. Not only do I find your podcast entertaining, but it also provides interesting insight to Disney's upcoming events and projects that I do not get from leading business outlets. My questions are regarding the deluxe resorts located in the Magic Kingdom. This past summer, my wife, two children, ages 5 and 2, and I stayed at the Wilderness Lodge, and we all had a fantastic time. My questions are, 1, how do you rate the Wilderness Lodge compared to the Magic Kingdom resorts? And 2, we will definitely stay at a deluxe resort again because of the simplicity to travel to the Magic Kingdom. How do the amenities at the other deluxe resorts match up to those at the Wilderness Lodge? Please keep up the great work, your biggest shareholder fan who still can't stand Duffy, Matt. Matt, you had me until that last sentence.
And I didn't set you up for that. I'm sorry, Lauren. Had I known, I wouldn't have done that to you.
That's okay. I like Matt even if he's a Duffy hater. He's right there with Bob.
All right, so Lauren, what do you think? What do you think about the Wilderness Lodge compared to the monorail resorts?
I mean, I think that it's less expensive, obviously. I think it's a beautiful resort.
Wilderness Lodge, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think it's a quaint resort.
It's very homey and cozy.
Exactly.
The lobby is just incredible.
The fireplace.
The whole grounds. You could just spend, you know, hours walking around.
Yep.
Love it. And some people do consider that a Magic Kingdom resort because you can get to the Magic Kingdom via boat launch.
Right. Yeah, and I do consider that a Magic Kingdom resort.
I think
if you're looking to stay on the monorail and have that convenience of the monorail, you know, obviously, me personally, I'd probably look at Polly. You know, but you are going to pay more money for Polly.
Well, isn't the downside, I mean, if there is a downside to the Wilderness Lodge, I mean, yes, it's cheaper as a deluxe resort, but it only sleeps 4 in a room, correct?
Yeah. In a standard room, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Wilderness Lodge is going to be, well, along with the Animal Kingdom Lodge standard rooms, those are going to be your least expensive of all the deluxe resorts. But as Bob said, you're only going to be able to get 4 people into a standard room. They don't have a day bed like they do at the other monorail resorts and a lot of the other deluxe resorts. So you are limited. You can, of course, get that pack and play for the infant, but that's it. The rooms are slightly smaller, but they're still so cozy, and I just love the theming there.
Oh, and for Christmas time, you certainly can't beat Wilderness Lodge.
It's beautiful.
Really, I mean, it just really plays well for Christmas. And I think amenities, you know, with Wilderness Lodge in comparison to other deluxe resorts. I mean, yes, you don't have the monorail convenience like you would on you know, with the Grand Floridian or the Poly or Bay Lake Tower and the Contemporary, but it's still close. You still have a lovely pool area. You have child care club on premises. You have a signature restaurant in Artist Point. So it does have the same features as other deluxe resorts. And, of course, it's got convenience to the Magic Kingdom. So, you know, like other deluxes like Yacht and Beach Club that are close to Epcot. You know, so it's got close proximity to the park. So it really is a good value for a Disney resort.
Yeah, and I think it's got equal amenities. I don't really think it's much different, except, you know, it's an older resort, but...
Well, compared to the monorail resorts.
Right, but, Grand Floridian's newer.
Than Wilderness Lodge?
I don't think so.
Wilderness Lodge is newer than Grand Floridian.
Is it?
Like, just by a few years, yeah.
Because
Grand Floridian is 89, right? And Wilderness Lodge is like... 98 or 95 or something?
96-ish. 95 maybe, yeah. 95, 94. Okay. I'll go right around there. give or take a
year. You know, I don't have a life, Lauren. Of course I remember all these things.
Well,
I know.
The other thing is, as far as amenities, I was just thinking, Grand Floridian does offer as standard, I believe, nightly turndown service in all their rooms. And that's not standard at any of the other deluxes unless you're staying concierge level, although you can request it from Mousekeeping. It is not guaranteed. So there's that. But, I mean, if you don't care about somebody turning down your sheets and leaving you a chocolate on your pillow.
Something tells me you care about that.
I don't care, actually.
Wilderness opened in 94.
Thank you.
And Grand Floridian in 88. Sorry, I needed to know that now.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, Matt, I don't think you can go wrong there. I mean, Wilderness Lodge certainly has a large following and a great number of fans, and I've always been impressed with its charm and its beauty and its quaintness, and I would totally love to stay there. And in fact, I was just thinking about that today. It would be nice to stay there over the holidays.
It would be a great place to stay.
It's so hard to get. It's really hard to book that. And I noticed that like the AP rates that came out and the discounts that came out during the holidays were really limited.
Okay, that'll wrap it up for this week's show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. If you have any future Disney vacation plans in mind, feel free to call any of our Pixie agents who are also Mouse Chatters. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.
Main Street Electrical blade going in my head.
Oh, no, don't share.
Oh, really, Bob?
Oh, see, all you have to do is tell her that. Now she's going to totally do it.
Ding! I hate that thing.